investing, it's a feminist act because it's such a world dominated by men and full of jargon and insular in a way. So yeah, I feel like I'm doing something for the sisterhood as well as for myself.
Hey everybody, welcome to Women Take Stock. Today, we're going to talk about what makes an expert and how to differentiate expertise from, say, mansplaining. Who should we believe? Who should we trust when we're trying to figure out how to invest? I mean, really, at the end of the day, is there a difference between investing in the stock market and fortune telling? Couldn't I just say, pull a few tarot cards to get some guidance on how to invest?
Wait, didn't you do that the other day?
Yeah, I was just sort of teasing it out because later in the show, I'm going to let you know how my stock picks that were guided by tarot readings performed against actual experts. Yes, I did that. I bought stock based on what the tarot said, and then the magic eight ball, and then a flip of a coin. Stay tuned.
Ooh, nice.
And now we're going to start our show. Somebody tell us who we are.
We are four friends, all at different places in our financial and personal lives, looking to pull back the curtain on the seemingly mysterious, often testosterone-driven world of stock investing.
And if four women without business degrees can figure out the market as a side hustle, so can you.
So join us as we learn the basics. Buy, sell, scratch our heads, hold our breath, exhale, commiserate, and celebrate. Hopefully more of the latter.
Maybe we can even make a little or a lot of money doing it. And if money is power, we definitely want some of that too.
The WTS podcast and related products are created for general information purposes only. Visitors should not act upon this content without first seeking appropriate advice from a financial planner, a tax attorney, or some other relevant professional. Any advice that might resemble a real tip is purely coincidental.
We gave ourselves tasks last show, and we want to revisit how we did with those tasks this week. But before we go there, quick recap, because if you're listening to this show for the first time or you don't remember who the hell each of us are, I want to go around a little bit and introduce ourselves. JJ, why don't you start?
Great, sure. I'm a writer, journalist, and social media consultant. Originally from Texas, I lived in London for more years than I can count and split my time between the UK and the US. I'm also divorced with a teenage daughter, and that's affected my finances. I want to put my ability to research and analyze information to work in a way that helps me take control and earns me some income.
Great. And I'm a native New Yorker, but I've been living in DC for longer than I can count. I'm a writer and a filmmaker. I'm married with two kids, a dog, a cat, a picket fence, no kidding. But since COVID, my income has been shot to sheep, shall I say, and I'm looking for new ways to reimagine my own finances. Dana?
I live in New York City. I'm single and a parent to a preteen. I've been working as a consultant for the past 10 years, and I've been investing in the stock market since February. And it's been an education.
And Tula, how about you?
Well, let me tell you about me. I consider myself a New Yorker at heart because I lived there for 19 years. And ironically, I moved back to my home state of Texas about 5 years ago to not only be closer to my parents and my family, but to get out of credit card debt. Well, lo and behold, I went into credit card debt and I'm single. And so I don't have somebody else that I share health insurance with or that I share bills with. Like, it's just me. I'm on path to get out of debt, but I don't want to wait until I have zero debt to participate in the stock market. Even if it's just a little bit of money, I want to be able to take control of my finances in a number of ways, that being one of them. I'm a total novice, a total beginner, and I want to be Dana.
You know, people aren't going to want this whole rundown of who we are every week. It's fine for now, but sooner or later, they're going to get bored. What we need to do, Tula, you're so good at coming up with little songs and stuff for your niece and nephews that I think it should be like a Gilligan's Island, like JJ there, whatever she does.
It would be cute. You know, sooner or later, the British girl, the movie star.
Dana, the movie star. Go for it.
Or who's going to be that? And Marianne. They just throw in the other two at the end. And Jen and Tula.
I like Marianne. I relate to all of them, though. I like sometimes feel like I'm Gilligan. Sometimes I feel like I'm Marianne. I really don't often feel like I'm Ginger. I could pretend that I'm Ginger that's sometimes. Fun. But maybe now I'll channel being the professor and have goals to be Thurston Howell III. Millionaire and this one. How are all these names coming back to me all of a sudden? So I am not Thurston Howell III, but I was born in Ohio. I'm technically a Midwestern girl and moved progressively east because of my dad's work and went to school in New York and moved to the city. Basically, pretty much was in debt the minute I walked into the city because my first job, I was making like $18,500 a year, which is crazy. And I remember filling out these forms where it said, what percentage of your salary do you want to put aside for retirement? I was like, screw that.
I don't have money to put anything aside. I need to retire.
I know. I don't need to start now. And I held on to that mindset. Really, embarrassingly, much of my adult life, everything's been like month to month, not a lot of forward planning. But as anyone who has children knows, you do need to think in advance when you have a kid. You start thinking on this like annual calendar. You start thinking about it in 4-year chunks. You're thinking about middle school and high school and college. And that actually helped me get my head around thinking about the future, which was really helpful. And I think also helpful for my child. So we have a little more of a stability based on that. I know this year when I turned 50, I'd been already thinking about it, but I was finally prepared to do something about my financial security and just really be an active participant in that and stop thinking, I'm going to hire somebody else to do that.
It's funny. I had this guy said to me recently, you're the protagonist of your own life. And it blew my mind. I was like, wait, what? I am? Like, yeah.
100% can relate to that. Absolutely. And I don't want to go so far as to say I'm like the victim. I've made myself a little bit of a victim in my life and I give myself this out of, that's just who I am. Or I don't have enough money to do that. Or I'm only one person income household, but no excuses anymore. So moving forward, I decided that I could lose $100 in Robinhood and bought a few stocks. And just from there, my like kind of planning nature, my organizing nature, my researching nature came, kicked in. And fast forward to today, I'm up a few.
You're the professor.
Yeah, exactly.
So then were you going to say you're up today?
Since February, I'm up several thousand dollars, which proves my theory and really has motivated me to continue learning and making investments.
So Dana, you've inspired me because that idea, just like I said, like being a protagonist of your own life and being able to actually take control of something, especially in this time, in this COVID time, when it feels like we have no control over anything, it is quite appealing. And scary. And the past few weeks, while we've been learning a little bit about investing, it's become exciting and hopeful. And it's actually funny because it's the first time I think in this whole period that I've felt hopeful, even though when I look at my stocks, not doing too well this week, but I guess nobody is. So there's that. Last week, we talked about all of us wanting to have a little task for the week, how we're going to move forward with our understanding of what we are actually doing with our money. I think I told you guys I had invested in a couple of areas that were of interest to me. In particular, I was interested in marijuana adjacent stocks and things that have to do with renewable energy. I was just willy-nilly grabbing some stocks that seemed to, have a buy recommendation, but not really understanding anything about the industries or the companies. And all I can say is that the only thing I did, which actually made me feel better, was I did a little research about marijuana, investing in marijuana. And it turns out all these articles I read said there's huge room for growth still in this industry, that it's not anywhere near as big as it could possibly become. I guess some of this depends on politics and legality, but it made me feel hopeful. Oh, wait, maybe I just by my gut instinct was onto something. Who knows? So I'm curious, like you guys, we're going to look into some stuff as well this week. What have you learned in your world?
I'll start. I had a lot to learn because I was starting from zero. And my goal was to research a sector and then purchase even just one share of stock, which I did. So I took the plunge. And
maybe before you tell us, can we guess the sector?
I did talk last week about which sector I was going to invest in, but you can guess again. Yeah, sure.
That's true. You did. So it's not like a big guess. But which company in that sector? Like, did you do Netflix? Did you do Disney? Did you do HBO?
I did bite the bullet on one of them. Let's see if anybody can guess.
I'm going with Netflix.
Oh, nope.
What did you think?
Oh, I said Peloton. I was thinking exercise because Tula's a Soul Cycle addict.
Oh, nope. I am a spin person. Yeah. That's actually good. I'm going to do that next week. So I'll tell you what. So first of all, I researched the streaming video services and I bought one share of Apple because of Apple TV. I'm that girl that has like hardly any shoes in her closet, but she has a pair of Manolo Blahniks. And that's what I consider my little Apple stock to be. Reasoning is that it did go down over the past couple of months. And so I thought I can afford it. It was $116 for one share. And I know, because I've been using Apple products my entire life, that they're an amazing company. And I know that'll go back up at some point.
Oh my God, Apple TV has some really good shows.
I also bought two shares of AT&T because they are trying to get into the streaming game. Their stock went down a little bit over the last couple of months as well. So I figured, okay, let me purchase it now while it's a little lower. And then they announced a partnership with HBO Max, which I'm hoping eventually that will pan out.
If I were your teacher, I'd give you a gold star for sure. Knowledge is power. It's great that you've done this research. I think it's really insightful that you are looking at things that are close to your heart or that you believe in and exploring options that way, because you understand those industries better than if you went and invested in some oil stock or something like that.
JJ, how was your week?
Yes, my goal for this past week was to dig in a bit more with some of the lingo. And so I understood it more. But basically, I'm focusing on certain issues like PE ratios and that kind of thing. And I'm looking at those over and over across different companies I'm interested in.
So what is a PE ratio?
Price to earnings ratio
means what?
Okay.
The price of the stock compared to the company earnings and
yeah.
the resulting number, and in not only knowing what the definition is, but knowing what's the number that you want to hit when you have that price to earnings ratio. What indicates it's a valuable stock or not a very good stock?
So I'm still I'm still learning all that. And I learned the difference between a market and a limit order this week. I did purchase some stock with limit orders.
What a limit and a market order is? So a market order is when you basically buy a stock for whatever it is selling at that particular instant that you press return when you're purchasing a stock. So it's whatever the price is. And it could look like it's $260 a share, but then you end up buying it for like $265 because the market fluctuated in that instant. But if you do a limit order, you basically specify exactly how much you want to spend on that purchase. So if you want to spend $260 for the stock that's saying on your screen that it's $260, you can kind of program that in.
So JJ, which one did you do, the market or the limit?
Oh, I did limit. Limit.
And so you specified how much you wanted to spend on a certain number of shares of which stock?
Okay. So I bought two stocks this week. Yay! One which promptly went down after I bought it.
Because of course.
But that was Electronic Arts, the gaming company, which I bought too. What?
You did?
But my son begged me to buy one share of that company this week, and I did, and it went down.
Yes, we're in the same boat. Yeah. But they stay long-term because of the amount of cash it has and because of its stable of games. It's actually a really good long-term hold.
Yeah, definitely.
So I feel pretty confident about that. It's just a bit demoralizing when it's like, yay, I'm getting into, there it goes. But then the other thing was I bought Pinterest. And I have been talking about that since July. I wish I had bought it in July because basically...
Oh, don't do that. Don't look back at what it was.
I'm New York real estate. Like, why didn't I buy a loft in Soho in the 80s?
Come on. Oh, no. JJ, what was it at? What could you have made at one stock?
It doubled.
Oh, wow.
To that point. Okay, so we're talking about like we're swimming in these waters that we don't really know very well or... Another bad metaphor is that we can't see the forest through the trees and we're looking for guidance. And so we said we were going to talk about experts and how do you know who to listen to and what advice to get to follow. Right now, we're following our own advice, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe that's what we should be doing. But there are all these people who are paid crazy amounts of money to tell us what to buy. And it's interesting though, because if you peel that back, I found a couple of studies. Some of them are a little old, but here's a 2012 study of more than 11,000 analysts from 41 countries so that the overall accuracy of their target prices, and I'm not sure what target prices are. I think that probably means of what they expected companies to do, but their overall accuracy averaged about 18% for a 3-month horizon and 30% for a 12-month. It's like terrible.
Who doesn't feel like they can do a lot better than that on their own?
Right. And I have to tell you guys what I did this week, because I was trying to figure out, okay, do I listen to Motley Fool? Do I listen to mywallstreet.com? Who do I follow? And then we were saying it's like gambling, which kind of got me to like, well, maybe a tarot deck could give me some guidance. And so I gave myself this little test. I thought, why don't I buy one stock that's way recommended and then use the tarot to help figure out one other stock to buy? Now, I wasn't a total idiot just pulling something out of the ether. I actually chose 5 stocks that were recommended, but then winnowed it down between tarot, Magic 8-Ball, and a coin flip to settle.
Oh, I love the Magic 8-Ball. That's such a great...
I love it.
Should I buy this stock? Check in again tomorrow.
I haven't actually looked yet to see, was my tarot Magic 8-Ball coin flip more...
Oh, you haven't looked yet?
I haven't looked yet. I was waiting to look with you guys. Yeah.
Okay, like, so here we go.
So let me just tell you, like, okay, I looked at the one that I bought that was the 100% buy recommendation from Robinhood was, oh my God, what the heck is it called? I just lost it. It's like Virgin Galactic. It's like,
oh yeah.
Rabbit,
oh
yeah. Right? And it was a 100% buy recommendation.
I just want to know who is saying, you know, you look at that thing on Robinhood and it says 100% buy based on X number of ratings. Sometimes it's 100% buy based on like 6 ratings.
Oh,
like,
really?
And and you can't click on it to see who's rating it.
So whoever recommended it or rated it, let me just tell you, Virgin Galactic Holdings this week, not so good. Very red. Down 7.38% down today over the week since I bought it. Let's see. Since I bought it, it has gone down 16.57%. So that's the one I went with the recommendation. The one that the tarot deck told me. So I had 4 that the tarot said yes. So I can't buy 4. So then I went to the Magic 8-Ball, winnowed it down. And then I was left with Viva and Zoom. And so then I did a coin flip. And so all of this came out that Viva, I don't even know what that is.
But
I bought it. Do you know what it is?
Yes, because I'm a part of a family investment club. And yeah, we bought it a while back. We're up 60% on it.
Nice.
Ooh. So because I'll tell you, I lost a little on Viva this week, but not nearly as much as I lost on Virgin.
On 100% buy recommendation. Oh my God, that's great.
What did it say? It was down like 16% something on the Virgin Galactic. Wow. Viva's down 4.6%.
Now, Viva will be great long-term, though, because it's medical. It's like medical tech kind of thing.
Cloud-based software solutions for the life sciences industry enables pharmaceutical or other life sciences companies to realize the benefits of modern cloud-based
Can we circle this all back to the idea of experts, right? Who is giving it 100% buy rating? What are they even basing that on? Is it how much they think the stock is going to increase or decrease in a week's time, in 3 months' time? The way information can be presented to you from a quote unquote, and I'm doing major air quotes here, expert is extremely subjective. And it really is, the onus is on you, us, each of us as the investor to do our due diligence and make sure we understand. And just because there's a big red dot that says 100% buy, or rather big green dot, what does that mean exactly? And it's really easy to get sucked in to this kind of communication.
It plays into also this bigger idea right now of with social media, we have so many sources of information coming at us and websites popping up all over the place.
Look at me, experts.
Mm-hmm. I think you have to really do your due diligence in terms of where are you getting your information in this time of like fake news. There's certain outlets that I trust because I know that they adhere to time-honored reporting standards. You know, everybody has a bias, but they start out with fact-based information. Places like Wall Street Journal and US News and World Report and Bloomberg, I mean, they're not always right because we're talking about the stock market. And I agree with you, Dana. You have to trust yourself and do your own research. And also, what am I interested in? What's happening in my life?
Right. You be your own expert, right? You would never just go buy a house because someone says, oh, that's a really good house to buy. That's a 100% buy house. Think about that. Think about how absurd that sounds. So then why the heck would you just put your money into something that you're looking at online that says 100% buy?
And I think too, you touched on this too, Leb. There are new sources you can trust. There are new sources you can't trust. And let's keep in mind, there've been a lot of scandals over the years of people putting information out there that's not right so they can benefit. And so,
you mean like how Donald Trump will talk about Kodak out of the blue randomly and it shoots up like 8,000% in a day?
Yeah.
It's some of us benefit from that and some of us lose money on that. But,
Well, you know, had he not done that, we wouldn't be doing this podcast because that stuff is all started, right?
But it depends how you think about it too. I listened to that, but I think there was, and we can talk about this another time. How do you process all that information coming into you and not lose your shirt, basically, and protect yourself and take advantage of opportunities versus get sold, what is it called when you basically get fucked over?
Yeah,
when
you get fleeced.
Yeah, I mean, when we think about who are the experts, we should also keep in mind that there are plenty of people who the use of jargon or just a simple attitude of, oh, you don't know what you're doing, can set themselves up as experts and we're the non-experts.
What I love in our little world here is that there's a Dana who's only been doing this really since February is our expert, and she's actually doing better than the actual experts. Like the gear returns right now, well, last week, I don't know if they're still at 30%, but you were doing well. And so
I actually had 60% returns a couple months ago, which was pretty exciting. But now I'm at, I got a little aggressive with some of my investing. But yeah, I'm still at about 36% returns.
Oh my God, that's crazy. How do you do that? I mean, clearly you're doing something that so many of these so-called experts aren't able to do. So what's your secret sauce, Dana? Who do you turn to for advice and expertise?
So I think my secret sauce is that I decided to start at square one. I went back to basics. I bought about 10 different books that profess to be about trading, the basics of trading, you know, stock investments 101. And I actually did buy The Idiot's Guide to Stock Market Investing. And I just had these sort of still complete tomes that I could tear into. And nobody was trying to sell me anything in these books. So I was able to get my bearings there and then feel like, okay, I have this reference library. And now I sort of have the guts to go out and start investigating stocks and tap into online platforms. And then I started looking at the news to see what was happening and really how are all of these things interplaying. And there's a lot of conversation out there about, you know, like FOMO, which is like fear of missing out, and a lot of other terminology and phraseology around just the idea of being influenced by other people, the idea of like that group mentality.
To me, this all sounds very daunting. Like, oh my God, 10 books. I'm going to read 10 books. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to study this. I'm going to go back to school.
Then read all of
So say I'm like, I don't really want to do that. I mean, if somebody says, I don't have the stomach to do that, I don't want to do that, I'm too lazy to do that, is the answer, well, then maybe you should have somebody else managing your money? Or is there a medium ground here where we can just sort of do whatever Dana does? Buy whatever stocks you buy.
Well, honestly, you can't not want to do the work. It's basically like having a job, or it's like doing a chore. If you're only going to do it halfway, then don't do it at all, because the end result is not going to be what you want it to be. So don't waste your time doing it. And I believe that for everything. And I believe you have to be like, yeah, if you want to give your money to someone else and have them manage it, you can do that. But you're really giving away power and control, and you're giving away the benefit of learning about what you're endeavoring into. And I think part of that for me is really exciting. And there's a payoff because I feel responsible for the gains and losses that add up in my portfolio. Does that
it's
make
funny
sense?
Because I feel like our answer, at the top of the podcast, we're like, how to be an expert. It's not as pat and maybe instantaneously satisfying as all that. But at the end of the day, not that different from the investing is a feminist issue. The idea that you take the power, you take the control, you manage it yourself. And if you do it right and you do it smart, you're more likely to do well. Is that right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And I think also, you know, learning from the idea that when you go to school, you're going there to learn, right? Maybe all of your teachers aren't like the best teachers or the most knowledgeable teachers, but, you know, some of them really know what they're talking about and some of them are really invested. And I think similar to trading or learning anything, you find those people that speak to you, they have proven results, and your knowledge is forwarded by your interactions with them and what you take away from them. So it's kind of a matter of finding those. And ultimately that makes you the expert. You know, right. The answer is that you have to be the expert.
Okay. This is all well and good, but it's a lot to take in. So just to start, I would love something a little bit more concrete. Certainly as a newbie, what do I even put in my Google search bar? What are some places you can send me to just to get my feet wet?
Yes. First of all, I would get the Robinhood daily newsletter. It's called Robinhood Snacks. It's a little pithy and quirky, but it's actually kind of funny. It's a quick read, and that gives you like a quick digestible take on the past day and what's ahead. You can look at the website MarketWatch, Yahoo Finance, Motley Fool, any and all books about finance and investing. The Idiot's Guides books are great.
You know what would be great? So we now have a website, www.womentakestock.com. It would be great if we could post a couple of these suggestions, because nobody's sitting here listening to a podcast and writing things down. And maybe you could give us a few more just to get going. That would be great. But to be clear, we're not saying these people are quote unquote experts, or you're not saying that. What you're saying is it's a good place to start, but the expert at the end of the day has to be you.
Exactly. I think that these people are our tour guides, but you're really running the show.
And in the interest of starting like a kid and building it up, I believe that Tula has prepared our quiz of the week. Yay! Okay, so Tula, you thought up a question to ask us. What is it?
Okay, so this was a question that arose when JJ mentioned these terms just offhand and I had to look them up. So what is the difference between a short position and a long position? Okay, you have three options, right? A short position is about playing the short game, like a quick turnaround. And the long position is about playing the long game, like holding a stock for a long time. That's option A. Option B, a long position is buying stocks with the expectation that it will go up versus the short sales, which one expects will go down. Or C, a short position is not really knowing what you're doing because you're too short to see what's in front of you versus a long position, which means you can see what's coming up ahead. Okay. What do you guys think it is? I know JJ knows the answer to this.
I'm going with C. No, B?
Okay, Dana, yeah. What do you think it B. is? You probably know. And JJ?
Yeah, B.
B. It's B. It is about buying a stock with the expectation that it will go up. And short sales, I guess a lot of day traders deal with short sales as well. But that's not what we're doing, folks. We're in it for the, we're doing long.
Maybe. Maybe we are, maybe we aren't. It's a good tangent to get off on, like, what is your psychology? Like, what is, we talk about is like, who are you psychologically speaking? And given your own psychological makeup, how should you be investing?
Is this what we're going to discuss in our next episode?
We should discuss this. What do you think?
I would love to. I do think that also understanding your own psychology and the psychology of trading helps you make better choices. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all here to make some money, right? So I think we should talk about how you can maybe manipulate your own psychology a little bit, or at least work with it in a way that will help you profit.
Also, making sure that you can control your anxiety. It was totally getting me down that this one share had gone down. But then I thought, you know, I'm not selling it tomorrow, but you do need to be aware of how you feel inside and your anxiety. And if you can manage your anxiety.
Yeah,
but that's why I'm investing in CBD.
That's so smart. You actually should go into trading like you would anything else. Make a plan and stick with it. You have to have an exit plan as well in case you start to see stocks completely tanking, or I don't know, maybe you're a risk taker who can hold on to stocks until they almost bottom out. How does your psychology match with what your plan is? And how does your plan match with what your psychology is, as well as how much money you have to invest?
To your point, Dana, having a plan, knowing when you're going to bail.
I think that's a great idea. We're going to bail on this show right now because it's time to go. But But we're going to come back next week and we're going to talk about this. I think that probably if we do a little digging, we're going to find some pretty interesting things out there about the psychology of trading. Dana, I believe you've set up some pretty interesting properties for us. If you want to tell us about how people might be able to get in touch if they have any questions or thoughts or comments.
Yes, if you'd like to learn more about us and what we do and who we are, or just get in touch with us, you can go to womentakestock.com, or you can check us out on our Instagram feed, womentakestock, or you can get in touch with us on Twitter at womentakestock.
Yay!
All right.
See y'all next week. We need a groovy tagline. Oh, wait, isn't it change that shit?
Change that shit.
I think we're great, ladies. Change that shit.
Okay, bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
And we're out.